everyone, and welcome to the JW Show. I'm your host, Joshua Washington, Executive Director of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. And today I have with me Justin Stover. Justin Stover, he originally is from Atlanta, Georgia. He now lives in Israel. He's been in an ongoing fight against BDS and related organizations for years throughout the United States and other locations in the world. Most recently, he's been working as a senior consultant for Ghana-Israel Civil Diplomacy Alliance in an effort to expand on the Abraham Accords in the Islamic regions of West Africa. Justin, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. And so, Justin, I want to start with this. We've been talking about it a little bit before, too. So you're a Black Hebrew Israelite living in Israel. And I know in the U.S., you know, people who are listening from the U.S., when I say those words, you know, they get a picture in their minds of, unfortunately, some of the negative stuff that we've been seeing here in the West with Black Hebrew Israelites who've been more aggressive or even violent towards Ashkenazi Jews, you know, the whole white Jews are fake and black and only African Americans are real Jews and all these different things. But from what I've been understanding in my relationship with you is that there are a lot of different sects or denominations, if you will, that have different belief sets. So I want you to talk a little bit to us about, you know, your beliefs and where the differences lie in those two groups, you and the others that we've been seeing.
Well, with a lot of the other groups, I see that they're just they have one part of the story. They focus on like one part, like, okay, we were in slavery. This is this from this book. Okay. But they don't understand. They read what they want to read. They don't understand about the 12 tribes of Israel and all this stuff. And this is my philosophy. Like, when I came to Israel, I was happy to connect with the Ethiopian Jews, with the Jews from Morocco, with the Jews from Brazil, with Jews all the way around the world, because it says that we'll be scattered to the four corners of the earth. You see what I'm saying? Right, guess the Hebrews in America, they just totally dismissed this.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's, to you, that's something that it's a piece of the story that, or a big piece of the story, I say, that they're missing here, especially the ones that are the loudest here in the state. So
yeah, and the one you got to understand, the Evrim in the States, they have no desire to come to Israel. This is a Christian organization, the Evrim in America. They're waiting on Jesus Christ to pick them up on a cloud and bring them to Israel. Nothing before then. This is their viewpoint. I know them personally. I'm telling you, this is what they think.
Right. Wow, Justin. So, I mean, it's always refreshing to hear other, you know, to get other perspectives, especially when I think the prevailing theory is that there's only one perspective out there on something like this. So I appreciate you for taking your time. Can you tell us more about, with mentioning your bio, the Ghana-Israel Civil Diplomacy Alliance? What is that? What do you do in that?
Oh, what we do is actual civil diplomacy. We don't wait on governments to do work. We connect people on the ground in one country with people on the ground in another country, and we try to get things done as far as like economics. Right now we're helping Ghana like learn about cryptocurrency all the way to get into it so they can have an edge over the rest of Africa in this thing with the cryptocurrency. We're also working with them on healthcare, on all the high tech we have here on Israel. We've been sharing with them, from employees at the company here to employees at different companies in Ghana. We've been like connecting them together. And wow, this is without the government. This is civil diplomacy.
So would you say that from your vantage point doing this, that relations between Ghana and Israel and between other Western African countries in Israel, would you say that they're doing well and they're growing?
Well, for the most part, the actual government of Ghana and the government of Israel have strong ties. Right. But you also have to worry about this Islamic region of West Africa, who has been anti-Israel for a long time. But now with the commencement of the Abraham Accords, you know, they're starting to change. They reached out to me. They want to draw close. They want to have the advantage. They want to have a relationship like the UAE has with Israel.
Wow. And tell us more about that. So how has it been actually working with the Islamic regions in West Africa, expanding the Abraham Accords? What has been your experience so far working with them?
Well, it's been great because, you know, I have many connections, like I told you, with the Black Bedouin here in Israel out of Segev Shalom and Rahat. And a great friend of mine is a very powerful sheikh who they respect. And this is how the relationship started. They wanted to know, who was this sheikh whose grandfather brought the first Zionists into Israel? They were like, they were blown away by the story. They said, wow. What? This is a black sheikh, and his family is the one who brought the first Zionist in.
Wow. Yes. And tell us, what
because
is...
Because everybody...
Sorry, go ahead, Justin. Go ahead.
I was telling you, like, what were the first Zionists doing when they came to Israel? They were living like the Bedouin. They were living amongst Bedouin. And they were, you know, they were dressing like them and everything.
Right. And tell us, what is the... You said the first sheikh. What is that?
Oh... His name is Sheikh Aik.
Sheikh Aik, okay.
Sheikh Aik. Mm. Yeah, he's the head sheikh of the Terebinth tribe in the Negev region. And it's here in Israel. He reigns in Jordan and in Egypt as well.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, and so, Justin, I mean, that's... And so they're wanting to, you know, make peace with Israel. They're wanting to have relations with Israel, and they're working through with you, really. I mean, that's really awesome. And how has it been for you to be able to connect with them, you know, on this type of level? Do you think, have the Abraham Accords made that much easier, or have you been able to do this before the Abraham Accords as well?
I flirted with the whole operation before the Abraham Accords because I have deep contacts in Ghana. I've been dealing with Ghana since I was like 23. It's like 10 years ago I had contacts in Ghana. The thing bringing them in, like the Islamic region, this came real recently. A little bit before the Abraham Accords, we were talking, we were trying to combine on a couple things. But with the emergence of the Abraham Accords, it made it so much easier for us to see our vision where we want to move forward. And after Ghana hopped in, Togo, they have a representative that wants to get in. Benin, they have a representative that wants to get in. And Senegal, we have a representative that wants to get in. Even in northern Nigeria, they want to get in on relations with Israel.
Wow.
So, it, you know, it's a good thing. Yeah. It's a good thing. The Abraham Accords has did a great thing because it cut a lot of the mess. It's like, okay, we can go around the Palestinians to get peace done in this region because everybody caught what they've been doing. They're essentially calling and begging for money all the time from all the Arab countries. And Saudi got tired of it, the UAE got tired of it, and Bahrain got tired of it.
Right. Wow. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, Justin, I want to ask you because, you know, you're originally from Atlanta, Georgia. You know, how tell us about a little bit more about yourself. What eventually caused you or made you actually make Aliyah move to Israel from all the way from Atlanta, Georgia?
Well, I had took a vacation first, and I fell in love at the first moment I was here. It's like everything was perfect. Everything was in place. It's like it gave me answers to a lot of things I wanted to know. And so I remember I would go back to America, and I would – that's all I would talk about, Israel, Israel, Israel. I would teach everybody about Israel. I was going to Washington, D.C., to the Holocaust Museum. I was going to talk to congressmen. We need to do more. I know their stories. Even in my city of Atlanta, I said, look, hey, we have the Ethiopian Jews. We need to work with them directly. We need to fund them. We need to help them. We need to combine with them on culture. This is even before my fight with BDS. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. And so this is before. So you were doing this, and then how much time? So then there was that, and then when did you actually encounter BDS for the first time? Which is for our listeners who don't know, boycott, divestment, sanction against Israel is a large group here in the U.S.
Yes, I encountered the BDS. I actually, it's a journalist here in Israel who I actually know. He's from Dimona, where the community lives, where the Hebrew community here lives.
Mm.
And so I know him, and I was in Atlanta. I saw that he was in Atlanta. And, you know, he's anti-Israel, but he's Israeli.
Right. Mm.
So he invited me out. He said, yeah, I'm in your city. Let's meet up. I'm having something at Spelman College.
Mm.
And so I went there. Wow. And the conversation starts, and I find out that I'm in the middle of a BDS meeting.
Wow. Wow.
Thrown by the Jewish Voice of Peace.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So, you know, me and the journalists are friends. I'm not a mean person. I sat through, and I threw my two cents in, what I had to say about it.
Mm, mm.
You know, and I learned from that moment, they have no idea what goes on in this country.
Mm.
Mm. No idea at all.
Wow. And how long ago was this?
This was maybe, what, 5 years ago?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
5 years ago.
Wow.
And then, like, most of my time before I made Aliyah, I would travel back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, speaking at different universities and stuff, talking to different African-Americans about Israel. Mm. Even my friends, like, different rappers and celebrities around Atlanta, Walker, T.I., people of this nature, I would speak to them about Israel.
Wow.
They were really interested in my trips. They're like, "What are you doing over there?"
Mm, mm. Wow. How have those conversations gone? What was that like? Especially like meeting with people like T.I. and other rappers.
Well, you know, Atlanta is a small city. Everybody knows everybody. Mm, so. Mm. You know, they had always been around, and once they had found out about my trips to Israel, they were very amazed by it.
Wow.
But now, like recently, that's how I can tell, like, these are trendsetters. I saw something during the last war that T.I. posted about, oh, yeah, free Palestine, free Palestine. I have no problem with Palestinians. The problem is Hamas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what T.I. should be focused on.
Right.
He's sharing something on his Instagram, it seems like.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Justin. I mean... So let's go back to the Abraham Accords for a second, because it's really amazing that you have taken this opportunity to really thrust forward with helping these other regions, you know, build ties with Israel. And you had mentioned that, you know, the other Arab countries, some of these other Arab countries like Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, they have been in a sense they've been kind of fed up with how things have been going, and so there's this whole making peace with Israel and the whole Israeli-Palestinian thing not even being at the center of their decision making. You know, they want peace for themselves. You know, can you speak a little bit more to that?
Yes, of course. They want peace for themselves. They want prosperity for their children and for the generations after their children.
Mm. Mm.
Everybody in this region wants that. But when you have terrorists funded by Iran, you know,
yeah,
they don't care about this thing. They want terrorism. They want everything to destruct here.
Mm. Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The Iranians don't like Saudi Arabia. They don't like the UAE. And they don't like Bahrain.
Mm.
That's why they're funding Hamas, so they can try to break they're trying to break the Abraham Accords. In some way, that's what they tried to do with this last war.
Wow.
But Dubai, they finally came out and they said what it was. We stand with Israel.
Absolutely. And Justin, what has it been so for you personally to be someone, especially somebody in who lived in Atlanta for a while? So you lived in a community that was, you had a lot of Black Americans living in it and all those things. How's it been for you personally to be this outspoken, you know, standing with Israel, teaching people about Israel? Has it been difficult? Have you received a lot of pushback or a lot of reception? What has it been like?
Well, I lost a lot of friends, but at the same time, real is going to recognize real. My real friends, when I say, I'm telling them, hey, look, I'm here in Israel. This is how life is. This is how it is.
Right.
Don't believe the media.
Mm.
My real friends believe me. They're like, oh, okay, we believe you.
Mm.
Okay.
Right.
But some people, like, you know, the people who watch the news all the time and on social media all the time, they're like, oh, you're a bad person. You hate Palestinians. You like dead Arabs. Like, some of my best friends in the world are Arab. Like,
right, right.
It shows how little that they know. But it's been great. I don't care what kind of pushback I have. I'm going to stand for Israel every day. Every day.
Absolutely. No, that's incredible. And I didn't ask this in the beginning, but so you live in the Dimona community, right?
No, Israel? Actually, my son is a part of the Dimona community. Okay. I'm not a part of the community. I'm part of a different set of Hebrews.
Okay.
It's even in Israel, it's as many as like three or four different sets who live here.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, but you know, we have a cordial relations, of course, you know. Like even with the deportation, like we're not part of that deal that they cut with the government or anything like that. That's something I hope that they can come to terms to.
Right, right. Can you actually speak more about that? So I was going to ask you about that at some point, which is there's been, you know, the big controversy recently with the deportation and everything on the news as of right now hasn't really given a lot of detail except to say that, you know, Israel's been deporting, Black Hebrew Israelites from the country. Do you have any other information on that as someone in the communities?
Well, as far as the deportation goes, the deportation is because of the deal to receive the Village of Peace. The Israeli government gave the Hebrew Israelite community from Dimona the Village of Peace. In return, the community told the government that they would not extend their numbers. They wouldn't have any new members come in or anything like this. So a list was submitted of the names of everybody. And these are the people who will go on to get like residency and eventually citizenship and join the IDF and stuff like this.
Okay.
Everybody's name was not mentioned on this list. So that's where the deportations are coming up. Because legally from the Israeli stance, from a legal point of law, it's like, okay, we cut this deal. We can't stray from the deal. This is what you agreed to. Right. So you have to stand by this. This is why they find it themselves in this situation.
Right.
But I feel for the people who are up for deportation. I know some of them. They're friends of mine. I wish they could come to terms of it, but the leaders of this community, they made this deal with the government, and they have to deal with the consequences.
Wow. So okay, that makes that. So you're saying that there's a list, there's an agreement, there are people's names on the list, but not everyone who was in the community were actually on the list.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Like I said, it's different. Like the Hebrew Israelite world is so crazy. It's like it's all divided.
Right.
Group likes the other group, essentially. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's a egotistical reason why some names were left off the list. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's a power grabbing reason why a lot of the names were left off the list. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it's that's interesting. I really wish and I hope actually, you know, that some of this can come to light more. I mean, obviously you have people here in the States who have been using this story to attack Israel without even really knowing what's happening on the ground. I mean, even we at IPSI, we haven't really posted about it because we know that we're not on the ground. We need to get some more information before we say something. And what you provided, I think, is very crucial context to what's going on. So we'll continue to have our eye on that, Justin, but thank you for sharing that. That's good information.
Yeah, of course. This is the agreement they made. And now, even without this agreement to stop the number of the Hebrews in Israel, even without it, this community was still going to get residency and citizenship.
Wow.
The only thing they got in return from cutting their numbers is the Village of Peace, the actual kifar, the free rent. This is what they gained from this. That's the only thing. Even without making that deal to shorten their community, they were still going to get residency and everything else.
Wow. So this specific deal was just for that, for the Village of
Peace? Just for the kifar. We call it the kifar, but yeah, the Village of Peace. Yeah. This is what this deal was for. They said, okay, look, we will give you this for free if you don't add any other member to your community. They said, okay, Sababa, no problem. And that's why a couple years, like all these years later, everybody's going on over the books. Like you see Sheikh Jarrah is coming up.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Hebrew Israelite situation from about 30 so years is coming up. Israel's cleaning his books right now. That's what's going on. All these old court cases are being handled. And, you know, of course, when you see it in the media, people are going to feel emotional about it and everything. But, you know, we have laws here.
Right. Right. Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you mentioned Sheikh Jarrah. You mentioned, there's court cases. There's legal history. There are things internally going on. I mean, and I got to tell you, from the States, the way it looks like over here is, the way people keep making it seem is that one day the Israeli leaders woke up and said, hey, we're going to evict these people from their homes because we don't like them anymore. And that's kind of the narrative that goes out. But again, like I said, from what you're sharing about, especially what's happening in the Hebrew Israelite community, no, there's a lot to the story. There's a lot to the story that has to do with laws and agreements and legal contracts. It's very crucial. And these are all... this community, like yourself, are they? They're also from the States or from the West that they made Aliyah to Israel,
or are some yes, of them? Most of them are from the States, from different Black communities around the States, such as Chicago, Atlanta, Houston, Baltimore, and Washington D.C. But you also have members of the community from Ghana, from South Africa, from all through the Caribbean, like. They do a lot of footwork in the world, the community in Dimona.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And Justin, what's the name of your community that you're a part of, the Hebrew Israelite community?
Or the Ethiopian Hebrew Israelites.
That's okay. So you're the Ethiopian Hebrew Israelites, and you said your son is Dimona, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No, that's incredible. And so, Justin, I mean, this is all, I mean, really, really awesome. And I really appreciate the work that you do. So I want to ask you this as well. You being in Israel now, you've lived in Israel now for, it's been 5 years, you said?
Yeah, about 5 years. Yep.
Just a kind of a personal question, but what is your favorite like place in Israel to be in as someone who's been there now for 5 years?
Oh, wow. I have so many. Okay. I love the Yom HaMelech, the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea. This is close to my house. I have my house in the south in the Negev, so this is like about 30-minute drive from my house to get to the Dead Sea. So I'm there a lot. I love all the beaches in Tel Aviv. That's like essentially my home. You know, Tel Aviv adopted me when I first came here.
Yeah.
Hope Yerushalayim, all this. The beaches in Yafo. I've been in the beaches in Bat Yam. I love the whole country. It's like. Man, everywhere you go is something different to see. You can see the desert, you can see the snow, you can see the greenery.
Yeah,
come on, you can, like, we have it all here.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's awesome. Yeah. Justin, what is your hope for this next generation in the work that you do and all the important work that you're doing? What is, I think, the one thing that you would want your son and his generation to the reality, the world that you want them to live in when they're older?
Simple. I want them to have peace. I want my son to be able to go to Tel Aviv and hop on a cruise to Lebanon with no problem. You see what I'm saying? I want that kind of peace in this region, in the entire world. You know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Awesome. Justin, I mean, I really appreciate you for taking this time with us. It's been really awesome to hear from you, to hear about what you do, and also for our listeners, I think, to get your perspective from someone on the ground. It's been very invaluable. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Man, thank you for all the work that you and your organization does. Like I said, I've been following you for a long time. Since even before I came to Israel, I've been following your organization. I think you do great work. You know, thank you.
Oh, no.
The thanks is for you, the people in America who are out there on the ground telling the truth. And that's what bothers me the most about being here. Because when I see at the universities now and stuff, they try to bully all the Israelis and the Jewish students. Yeah. When I was there at the BDS meeting,
yeah,
you think they would do that? They would never do it.
Right, right.
Never.
Right, right. Absolutely. No, you're right.
So I appreciate all the work that y'all do holding down the fort in America on our behalf. It's very important work.
Thank you, Justin. No, thank you. And the next time we're there, we'll definitely come and see you and you know, maybe even do some visuals for our followers to just kind of see the community and then what you all do on a daily basis out there. That'd be fun.
Cool. Yeah, of course. I would love it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, Justin. And thank you all for listening. Once again, this is the JW Show. My name is Joshua Washington, Executive Director of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. And I'm signing off.